Welcome to Breathing Room, a Breathe podcast. It's time to be healed. It's time to be restored. It's time to breathe. Thank you for joining us as we steward a move of God in the earth. Here's our host, Sandy James.
Hello, my name is Sandy James, and this is Breathing Room, and you are so blessed to have tuned in today. This is our most unique episode yet in Breathing Room, and I'll tell you why. What you're about to hear is the conclusion of a conversation that I had with my very good friend, Jeff Lewis. Jeff is a man of God. He's a man after God's own heart. He's such a kind man. He loves God, and he's an earth-shaking minister of the kingdom of God. He is powerful. I've known him for 21 years now, and I have never known anyone like Jeff Lewis. His story of restoration is unique. I've never heard a story like this before, and we are about to break into the last portion of this story. The reason we're breaking in is because it is such a powerful story. I couldn't just stop it. I could not say pause and just start over again the next week. I just couldn't do it. So I just kept the mic rolling. And what we're doing is we're breaking into this conversation right now. What you're about to hear is life-changing. I want to know that you've heard it. I want to know that it was powerful for you. This story of restoration will make anything you're facing in life look possible. Let me just give you a little tidbit. Jeff, the day I met Jeff Lewis, he was telling the story about the fact that he has broken his neck twice, count them, one, two, twice in his life, and the Lord has restored him. He dances all over the world. He's one of the greatest dancers I know. I don't know a lot of people that have broken their neck one time, do you? And yet he has broken his neck twice. The Lord has restored him each time. That's just one piece of his restoration. So my question to you, beloved, is what is it that you're facing that's too hard for God? It's not there, is it? It's not there. God can remake. He can recreate. He will restore you. All he needs from you is your yes. What you're going to hear today, and if you didn't hear the previous segments of this conversation, go back in the archives and download them and listen to them, because you'll hear restoration after restoration after gleaming restoration in the life of Jeff Lewis and his family. You don't want to miss this, because here's the thing. There is nothing too hard for God. There is nothing too difficult for him. There is nothing he can do. There is nothing he can't do through you. All he needs from you is your agreement. He needs your yes. Jeff gave him his yes, and everything in his life was restored. Another thing you'll hear is that restoration sometimes takes longer than we want it. Sometimes it doesn't look like restoration right away, but we don't get fatigued in the battle, do we? In the journey, sometimes victory looks like one more step in faith. It doesn't look like trumpets blaring and people clapping for us. It doesn't look like that. It looks like one more step in faith. What is it that I need to believe God with you for today? I am trusting God for you. I'm believing for every person that hears this podcast to be fully restored, to be saved if you're not yet, to be restored if you're not yet. It is time, beloved. This is the time of the restoration of all things. You're part of that. Praise God. What an amazing time to be alive. You could have lived in any other time in history. You could have lived at any other time in history. But you know what? The Lord saved you for this hour. And if you're not saved yet, it's time. He's waiting on you. There's no more time to waste. You have a job to do in the kingdom. Yield your heart to the Lord and give him everything you have. Just offer it to him and say, Lord, take my life and do something amazing with it. I'm yours. Amen. I want to hear about that. You know how to reach me. You can reach me at breatheretreat.life. Get a hold of me there. So settle in, get some coffee, and listen to the most amazing story you have ever heard. I want to hear what you think about it. God bless you. Let's listen.
So anyways, this is where we really began to see, when we came to Oklahoma, that's where we really began to see the restoration begin. And so the ministry started to be restored. God mm-hmm. was giving us new vision and purpose for what we're called to do for this latter day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we came to Oklahoma. I wasn't married for about a little over a year after Lisa passed. And I think it was about 9 months after Lisa passed, I sat with my pastor and we cried together. And he said, I really believe God's going to bring you a wife to help you. And of course, I need a wife. I needed a wife because I'm just the kind of guy that needs someone there with me. I've got a lot of strength and she has a lot of strengths and I need a partner. And so God began to restore those things. And we're in Texas, we're in Oklahoma now, and God is restoring work and ministry, giving new vision for ministry. The kids are being restored, my boys and my wife. And one of the things that's really interesting, guys, is I didn't know the magnitude of our last name before Lisa had passed. And as I was studying it, it means renowned warrior, celebrated warrior. And Lewis, that's what that means. And so we're fighters. We're those that are ready to fight the good fight of faith and see things to the end. So we are there, and now God is restoring. And so the wife, you know, I'm there alone, and I'm raising my kids. I'm doing the best I can to make the hamburger helper meals and you know, beans and Franks and cold cereal. And so I'm living life, you know, it's shifting. Things are shifting and God is restoring, and, you know, where there's peace where we're at. I want to just encourage everybody out there, when you go through, there's a glory that can come through shaking, and there's a glory that can come through the heaviness if you're willing to keep your eyes on the Lord. And there's ultimately a peace and a joy that God brings to you in those places. And there was just a peace. There was a peace amongst the kids. My son David, of course, he was still riled a little bit, but all the other kids are starting to receive peace and this new that God was doing in our family, this restoration process. And so in that time, God bursts Arrows International, and that's where Natalie comes into my life. Natalie is, I'm traveling with her with Dance Revolution all over the U.S., and she is a teacher. I've known her for many years at this point as a friend. I knew everything about her. I knew she was waiting on a man of God. She'd learned that that the man of God had to come to her. He who finds a good wife, the Bible says. And so she gains that revelation, and she's waiting for a man of God. She's not seeking. And we all knew that about her as team members. And, you know, there were, gosh, dozens of times where we're together or we're flying together. There's three of us, and we're laying hands on Natalie and we're praying for her. Oh, bring her a man of God, send her a man of God. Yeah. I mean, it's, God has a sense of humor, and I'm right there in the midst.
You were partners at this time. You were dance partners.
Yeah. At this time, you know, even before when Lisa was alive, it was like, we were just on our journey side by side, but just living life. She was going for her thing. I was serving and living my life the way it was. And at this time though, after Lisa passed, we're in Oklahoma and we're with this tour, the Dance Revolution tour, and God put us together, and he put us in a piece together called The Ring. And this was about the bride and the bridegroom, right? The house of God and the bride coming for his bride, the groom coming for his bride. And this is about the Lord coming to the house of God, you know, and waking up, interestingly enough. And so she's a part of this, and she is, she represents the house, and I'm the groom. And at the end, I come to her and I put this ring on her finger, and there's just this marriage of the house of, you know, the bride and the bridegroom. That's very biblical. And I put this ring on her finger in the first city that when we start rehearsing it, I'm starting to feel differently about her. I'm seeing her in a different light. I'm starting to get a feel for her, like I'm starting to have feelings for her in a different way. She doesn't know this, but it's about a year after Lisa passes, and I'm starting to see her differently. And in this moment, the first city we did, I have this box. I process up, and I open this box, and I take the ring out, and I put it on her finger, and we do this Viennese waltz together, and it's just this beautiful moment. And I open the box, and the ring wasn't in there. And I start to shake. I'm on the platform performing this prophetic piece, and I'm thinking, my ring is supposed to be in this box. And this is before I even pursued her, really. And I was like, I was freaking out. It's just literally like, what? And so I ended up finishing that, and my feelings for her were changing. And I finally approached her on a phone call and said, you know, I just want you to know that my feelings are changing for you. And I don't want to, you know, I just want to know how you're feeling about that. And she goes, well, she had a couple of words that came to her that the man of God was coming soon. And there were other things that people were prophesying over her. It might be right there before you and those types of things. So she wasn't certain that what I was saying was all up and up per se. So she wanted to wait on the Lord. So we decided to fast. And one thing led to another, and God brought her to Oklahoma, believe it or not. It wasn't for me at first. He brings her to Oklahoma to meet with a friend, and
she stayed in our house.
And there was no way she could see this friend. There was hindrances. There were blocks or walls that were coming up, and she felt like Holy Spirit said to her, why don't you cook a meal for Jeff? He's only like 15, 10 minutes away. And so she calls me, and she comes to my house. And the moment she came to my door, I remember like, wow, Natalie is at my house. You know, it was just, I was like taken by that. But anyway, so this was obviously a divine appointment. And then we talked, and one thing led to another, and God began to reveal that we were called to be together. And if you guys do this, you can try this. Those of you that are listening, take two pencils and stick it on a piece of paper right next to each other and draw a straight line. Okay. Right next to each other. What you're going to have when you finish that is a shaft. You're going to have a shaft. Okay. So when the Holy Spirit was bringing Natalie and I together, she was waiting 7 years for a man of God, never been married before. Remember, I have 8 kids at this time. Never been married before. I've got 8 kids, and she is starting to see, the Holy Spirit is starting to show her that this is, God is doing something here. So if you take those two pencils and you draw that line, you're going to see a shaft. It's a straight shaft. When we were in Tampa together, we were seeing each other at this time, and we went to Florida. She was with her friends there, living there, and we went together there. And when I was there, the Holy Spirit said, take two pencils and draw the line. And if you put the two pencils down, you're going to get two dots on the paper. And when you draw those lines together, it becomes a shaft. Okay. And so as I'm doing this at where she's living in front of our friends, I'm saying, you realize, Natalie, God had brought us together. We were side by side for 7 years. We knew everything about each other because we were ministry team. We wept together. We cried together. We shared things. We prayed together. We knew what was going on in our lives. We're brother and sister in the Lord, side by side, had no idea. God is creating a shaft. And then God did a suddenly and brought us together. And that's the shaft, the tip of the arrow, the sharpness, right? If you draw that, you bring them together, it's a peak. Okay, you should try it. It's amazing. He says that's what he's doing with us, the shaft of the arrow.
That's right.
And so from that point on, it was, we were falling in love, and God had brought us together. And that is part of the restoring process as well, because God knew I needed a wife. I felt like God was going to bring me a wife and to help go into this new time of more of God's power and authority on the earth. So there's a restoring process to that as well. So God brought her into our lives, and so many amazing testimonies. Our 8-year-old, our 8th child, my wife and I, Lisa, my previous wife, we wanted a big family, but we were thinking 7 was the number. So when 8 came around, we're like, no more kids. And so we named her Matea, which is a female version of Matthew. And her middle name is Selah in the book of Psalms. And it means to pause, or it also means amen, like completion, like stop. So we were prophesying to God that was it. Okay. And so the cool thing is Matea was the 8th child, which is a new beginnings. If you study numbers, you understand that 8 means new beginnings.
She was 8 years old.
Yeah, she was 8 years old. So in a sense, she represented those new beginnings. Well, we were in the year of 2007, and before we were falling in love, and before we got engaged, the Holy Spirit came over me, and she had been called to go to New York for the final show that Cheryl Cutlett was in, that she was doing, and that was a Christmas program at Rocket City. Yeah, I think it's
Rockettes.
Yeah, the Rockettes at Rockefeller, Rockefeller Center.
Yeah.
And she's going there. She had it planned a year in advance, and it's New Year's, and she was upset that she planned this because she wanted to be with us and the kids. And she had gone there, and then I had realized that this is deeply prophetic. We're going from 7 to 8 the year. And I said, why don't, and I was in love, and I was ready to propose to her. So I planned on, I didn't have the finances, but it came together. And I went to New York, and she had no idea I was there. And I proposed to her at the midnight hour, right in the center of where the old Times Square arena was, where many, many revivals took, many great moments took place in this old, we were right in the center of the square, right in the center of this particular where it was built, and it was obviously rebuilt, but we're right there. At midnight, I proposed to her. So in the ending of 07, the 7 years almost that she had waited for a man of God, we went into the new beginning, the 08. So that's a part of that restoration. And so coming into that, which was really neat, we had prepared our wedding for March the 22nd, only because it was the best date to do it. And we realized before we, after we said it, that it was Matea's birthday. Well, Matea, the 8th child, was turning 8 in 2008.
Right.
So there was an element of our wedding. When we actually got married, it was about the new that God was doing.
Yeah, yeah.
So prophetic. So Matea turned 8, the 8th child turning 8 in 2008. The triple, you know. Yeah, so you get the idea. So anyways, it was just a deeply prophetic moment. And so God was restoring everything there. And then just to kind of move forward in this, from that, when Natalie came into our life, God began to birth the vision of Arrows International. We begin to train and mentor and take people into the nations. We have a call to the nations. We're apostolic. We are those that announce the coming of the Lord with our shouts and with our praise and with our worship. We are like harbingers in a sense, like the robin in a sense, where we announce the coming of God's presence. We are ones that multiply. We take territory. We multiply. We have a sound that is ushers in the presence of God. And so that's part of our destiny. So God was restoring. And on this property, as we continued our years, God was bringing our family closer and closer. Even through David's death, it's been, that was a challenge. But David came home. He was the prodigal. He ran home at the last moment. And there was restoration with him and I before he went to be with his mother. And God showed me that he rescued him. And since then, all of our kids are succeeding, beginning to flourish in all different areas. And we're seeing restoration in all of them and new revelation. And that is true. And then even since then, we've been, even in the midst of this pandemic, guys, this is just a real miracle. We have gone from a facility that we had to, in a sense, leave into a brand new facility, 5,500 square feet facility that we get to train and mentor. And we have not had to stop. We've been able to honor government where government could be honored with the mandates, but we also understand that there's an attack, and we should always see things, God-centered things first, put God first, man second, and then allow the Spirit to lead us.
Yes.
But we just stepped into a new facility, which is a restoration process and going to a different level of God's glory, new revelation. And also we just moved into a new home, all during COVID, all during this time that the challenges are happening on the earth. God is restoring and seeing our family and our ministry restored. We're seeing my kids are flourishing. I have a daughter who has a dance studio, over 300 students, and they're still flourishing and they're doing great. I have a son who is in the oil business and his wife is a teacher, and they just built a brand new home. They just moved into a brand new home. They're flourishing. I have my son Alden, you heard about, who's with Lakewood. He's in a new home. He's flourishing. He's working with good people. My son Micah, who is He heard about him. He's flourishing. He's becoming an engineer. He's got a great job. He has a family. His wife is talented. They have a child. They want to adopt. Oh, no, they don't want to adopt. They're going to have another kid. Alden wants to adopt. You know, I have a daughter who's flourishing. She got a full ride to UCO to be a nurse. Only five awards can give out to that. She got one of them. She's got a full ride. They pay her to go to school. She is passing all of her tests and be a nurse in a year. A dancing nurse that wants to go into the nations and dance and worship and help people. And so I've got a son who is growing and learning life and has been come through some heavy stuff and is really starting to flourish as well. And I'm praying for him daily. We pray for all of our kids. Amen. And so we are seeing restoration everywhere we go. And now God is calling us, in a sense, to bring that restoration to the house, right?
Yeah.
Because there are revelations that the house of God need to embrace right now to wake up and to have the dry land watered by the living water, you know, to see that barren land awoken and revived and to become the house that it's been called to become.
Yeah.
And that's a kingdom house. It's a house that's not about our own thing, but about the bigger picture. It's a body that will go and do what God calls us to do. It's not always about the numbers. It's about or the glory that, you know, the job description. It's about just being obedient to the word, obedient to the spirit, and having a willingness to do that so that we can really become the hands of God, the works on this earth, the heart, the love, the mind of Christ on the earth, you know. So God is restored and continues to restore us. And, you know, there's just, it's really, he's unlimited.
If I were to take you back to the moment in the 2 years of shaking, and you could look back at Jeff in that moment and tell you something, would you not tell yourself, keep going? You're not done yet.
Amen.
If you could see what's on the other side of this, you would press through this.
That's so good.
You would get up tomorrow morning
if
you knew what was coming.
That's right.
But that's the thing, isn't it? That the devil lies to us and says, it'll never change. It'll never be anything like what it used to be. It'll never be better than it was now. I remember during that season of shaking, right after, I remember that my husband and I had no money at all, but we wanted to provide for the Lewises somehow. We wanted to sell something or do something or whatever. And so we put together, I remember putting together a dance intensive, because Jeff Lewis is known everywhere. So if we put together a dance intensive in Oklahoma, and we didn't know what we were doing, but we have a dancer, which she used to dance with arrows all the time. And so we had a dance school that we had connection with. But I remember drawing Jeff up there and saying, just come and let us sell tickets for people to be there. And we put together this weekend. If I don't care what happens, let's just put together a weekend. Do something. I don't care what you do. I remember saying that. And I remember being pregnant with my third baby at the time. And I remember you got there that night. I'll never forget it, because it was in February, and I'll never forget it because it was snowing. Your kids had never seen snow. So they were freaking out. And you got to my house in Oklahoma, and I remember you sat down with me and you said, I have nothing, you know? I have nothing. I'm empty, completely empty. I'm not sure what you want me to do this weekend. And I said, all you have to do is stand there in faith and open your mouth, and the Lord will use you. I promise that's what's going to happen. And it was powerful, but I think it started some things. It started to chain the action of some things. But my point is this: if we were to look back at Jeff and say, and he was in the throes of that and really wanting to give up in some way, you know, like, how do I press through this? Don't give up. If you knew what was on the other side of your mountain, you would speak to it. Amen.
Good.
Yeah. You would press through it. Don't give up. Amen. The reason I extended today is just because I needed you to hear the whole story. It is not over yet. Your story is not over yet. I've known you for decades, and I've never seen the Lord flourish you like he's flourishing you now.
Amen.
And I sit in the background of your life, and I watch just to see how things are going, you know, and that you're okay. And it's working.
Yes.
The faith of God is working. Even when you think your faith is not working, it's working.
Yes.
It's working. I don't care what you feel like. I mean, I do care what you feel like today, but I'm telling you what you're seeing today is not what you'll see in your future. And the enemy wants to lie to us and say, this is all there is.
Right, right.
We have to take a longer view than that.
That's right.
Amen. If we can look by faith and see what's coming, the people that you've reached.
Yeah.
Through arrows, the dancers you've reached and the nations you've reached.
Yes.
What would have happened had you quit?
That's right.
Before that.
Wow.
And not been obedient.
Yes.
What about the times you broke your neck?
Yeah.
If I could look at you in your hospital bed and go, hey, hang on. It's going to get better. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
There's an agenda of restoration in the spirit.
Amen. That's good.
Right?
Yes.
And then you become this picture of brokenness that is fully restored and useful.
Yes.
Even in the midst of your brokenness, but even that's not the end of it because he never wanted you to leave you there to begin with.
Amen.
So anyway, Jeff, thank you for coming and
sharing
your story and helping me relive that. I remember living through so much of that story, just so much of that, those breakthrough moments where we thought, oh man, God, how are you going to pull this off? And he has pulled it off. I've never known a family I love more than this family.
Oh,
they are amazing, amazing people. They change the world with this story.
Praise God.
And what God is doing in the earth. They are a power tool of the kingdom of God. I believe that.
Amen.
You are too.
Yes.
You are too. And what the enemy would like to do is to lie to you and say, it will not change. That is a lie, and I break that now in Jesus' name. Lord, I speak vision over whoever's listening today that needs some vision. In the name of Jesus, I ask you to give them a glimpse and the courage to keep going.
Yes.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we break down hope deferred. We break down all discouragement and depression in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
And we speak life. We say live and look again in the name of Jesus. Look again in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord, I thank you for these, and I ask you to use this podcast powerfully in Jesus' name. I want to remind you that Breathe is happening on April 24th. You can register right now, and you should, because things are starting to fill up. So you can register on breatheretreat.life. We want to hear from you. You can also get a group together of 10 or more, and there's a group rate available for you if you contact me personally. I want to hear from you. Let me know how this podcast has affected you. God bless you. Have a great day, and we will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us as we steward a move of God in the earth. To find out more about Breathe Retreat, visit breatheretreat.life. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Join us next week for Breathing Room, a Breathe podcast.